Hi, I'm Sarah Lippman. Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be learning Sefer Mishle, Proverbs, chapter 16. In this chapter, Derech, the road, is a major theme throughout. It is in fact a major theme throughout Mishle as a whole, but especially so in chapter 16, where the word Derech appears 8 times, 3 times more frequently than the rest of the book of Mishle, and 20 times more frequently than in Tanakh as a whole. There is also a sub-theme in this chapter regarding the influence that leaders have on the paths chosen by their followers. So let's start by asking, what is a derech? What is a road? As always, unless stated otherwise, we'll be using teachings of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch as the basis for our analysis. Derech means a road or a path, but it doesn't just mean a road or a path. It means a road or a path to somewhere. The word derech can be used very literally. It can mean a highway. It can mean the road, for example, bederech shur, the road to shur. Or, for example, when Rachel died, batikaber bederech Ephrasa, she was buried on the road to Ephras. Derech HaMelech, the king's highway. But derech is not only used to mean a physical highway, made of earth or stone or asphalt. A derech can mean a culture. It can mean the manner. In other words, the way or road of doing things, the things that shape the behavior of people within a culture. So, Derech Hashem, the way of God, or Kederech Kol Haaretz, the way of all the land. The social culture of a country or a civilization is its default road, the way people travel, the way they progress in life. Let's start by seeing where the Torah introduces us first to the idea of a derech, a road. That's in Bereishis chapter 3. Vayigaresh es ha'adam, and God banished the human. Vayashken mikedem legan Eden es ha'kruvim, and God stationed east of the Garden of Eden the cherubim, the kruvim, ve'es lahat ha'cherev hamis ha'peches, and the flame of an ever-turning sword, lishmor es derech etz ha'chayim, to guard the road, the derech, the way, etz ha'chayim, to the tree of life. This is one of the saddest verses, of course, in the Torah. Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve, have sinned. They've chosen the wrong way, and God has put them out of a perfect life in a perfect world, and apparently barred the return with kruvim, some sort of angels, cherubim, and an ever-turning sword. But if we look a little bit more closely at the exact language used in the verse, the kruvim and the sword are placed lishmor, to guard, to preserve, es derech etz ha'chayim, the path to the tree of life. They're not there to cut off the path. They're there to preserve it. God has installed guardians to preserve the path of the tree of life so that it will not be lost for mankind, so that we can find our way back again and go back to where we came from. And so the kruvim, meaning divine forces from God that show themselves to us with the faces of humans, and a sword constantly moving to and fro, these are two factors through which God keeps the way of the tree of life open for each of us so that we can return upon it. This opens up a lot of new thoughts for all of us about what it means to have left the Garden of Eden, our role coming back, and the very fact that the first use of the word derech, the introduction to the world of the concept of a road, is a road upon which we can progress to get back to a perfect life with God. There's a lot of scope for thought there. So a derech, a road, although it may sometimes be a different kind of road, the real derech, the real road, is the development through which a person goes over the course of his life, improving his personality, proceeding step by step, and getting towards the goal of returning to who he once was, once could be, in a perfect world, in a perfect self. Let's look now into chapter 16 of Mishle, paying special attention to Shlomo HaMelech's teachings about derech, the road, what it teaches us about the world we experience, and the deeper intellectual, spiritual, emotional truth of our journey in life. Verse 2, Kol darchei ish zach be'enav. All the ways of a person seem pure in his own eyes, v'solchein ruchos Hashem. But God examines the motivations. God knows our inner thoughts, our real motivations. He does not only see our surface. So maybe we shouldn't be so afraid to examine our inner thoughts and motivations. He knows them anyway. Let's face up to the feelings in our hearts, and we can direct them toward God. Knowing where we truly stand, we can figure out where we need to go. Verse 3, Kol el Hashem ma'asecha v'yikonu machshavosecha. Let your actions roll towards God, and then your thoughts will become the right ones. Verse 7, Beretzos Hashem darchei ish. When God approves of the path of a person, gam oivav yashlimito. Also his enemies will make peace with him. Why would enemies make peace with me just because I'm on the path of God? Well, if I look back at my own life, and I think if we all look back at our own lives, we would see that our greatest challenges, our greatest enemies, are the weaknesses and failings within us, our hot spots, our buttons that get pressed, our weaknesses of spirit. But in truth, all those challenges of spirit, all those weaknesses, all those things that cause us to stumble and fall and mess up and lose our temper, those have the potential to be our greatest strengths, our greatest allies. So a person who's stubborn can learn to channel that to being reliable or being persistent. A person who doesn't stand up for what's right in the face of social pressure can channel that to becoming humble, to learning to respect other people and hear their views. A person who loses his temper can learn to become passionate and expressive about those they love and care about and the things they love and care about. A person who's sensitive and easily hurt can also learn to be empathetic and caring. So our personalities are full of all kinds of qualities that are neither good nor bad inherently, but they are powerful, and the determining factor is, what derech are we on? What road are we on? Where are we going on our path? If we're headed towards God, our struggles become our strength training, and each time we deal with them, we get stronger, and each encounter contributes to forward progress. But if I'm just drifting along, following my urges or my desires or social pressure, then I'm not achieving any growth through my encounters. And all that happens is the selfishness of my personality becomes reinforced. And what could have been my greatest strength becomes my worst enemy, taking me farther and farther away from God. When God approves of a person's pathways, meaning when we are on the road of the tree of life, then even our enemies make peace with us. Or more literally, our inner enemies become our allies and perfect our strength. Verse 9, Lev Adam Yechashev Darko, VaHashem Yochin Sa'ado. A person's heart calculates his road, but God sets the step firmly. Since I don't have control over the outcomes, it can be kind of frustrating if the goals I choose are goals that I have no control over. If I set my goals, if I set my path toward material definitions, practical definitions of success, then I will never have any control over how well they go. On the other hand, if I set my path, if I set my goals on inner development and inner definitions of success, then I can always succeed. And when I can learn to embrace this truth, which can be uncomfortable at first, that it's up to me to choose the right path, up to me to choose the right direction, it's also up to me to embrace, trust, and God's control over my progress, to turn to him for help on the path of success, to turn to him for joy and seeing my hopes realized, and to always remember that I am in very, very good hands. We come now to a series of six verses that focus on the role of a king, a leader, what we would call now an influencer, who leads other people on a road by showing them a way that they're likely to emulate. Verses 10 through 15. There is magic on the king's lips. Let his mouth not betray him in judgment. Just scales and balances are God's, and all the weights in your pocket are his work. Let evil deeds be an abomination to kings, for a throne is established by righteousness. Just speech wins the favor of kings, loving the one who speaks truthfully. A king's wrath is a messenger of death, but a wise man may calm it. A king's countenance shines life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring. The words of an influencer have extraordinary power. Just ask any social media marketing company. A pronouncement or a view of an influencer, which filters down to the public, can, like magic, influence the attitude of people towards right or wrong. A leader, therefore, needs to be aware of the fact that he's a leader and take extreme care with words and make sure that none of their statements lead other people away from what is right. Most importantly, when it comes to justice, no act is too small to matter. Nothing should be dismissed as insignificant. Someone who's a leader can promote justice among the followers by indicating what he favors, openness and honesty, and indicating displeasure for disrespect of justice. Transparency, fairness, and honesty are the foundations of solid and lasting leadership. Verse 17, Misilas Yesharim Sur Meira, Shomer Nafsho Notzer Darko. The smooth road of the upright avoids evil. One who guards his path protects his soul. You may recognize the phrase Misilas Yesharim, smooth road of the upright, as the title of a classic work by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, first published in 1731. In that book, he provides a step-by-step outline for conscientious personal growth and progress on the path of life. Misila is a smooth road. It was made smooth by hard work, clearing it of stones and other obstacles to progress. And a conscientious, growing person has to think about where their steps are heading. They do have to work hard. We have hearts that have stones and other obstacles to progress that need to be cleared. But by choosing our steps, choosing to walk the higher road, we can create a smooth internal path leading toward the primary goal, which is the tree of life and closeness to God. It's when times are tough that you can really see the difference between which road a person has chosen to be on. If a person is defining success, if the goal at the end of their road is the acquisition of fame or fortune or any kind of external form of success, he's doomed, because everything physical and finite eventually collapses, eventually fails, and nothing is left of the person if he feels that his personal meaning is all tied up in that kind of success. And when things begin to get difficult, he gets discouraged and he panics. He feels like a failure because all of his strength is outside of himself. He had no control. On the other hand, someone who's walking on the path of God, he's working on inner strength. He's working on focus. And yes, things may be more difficult, but nothing fundamentally has changed. That's still his definition of success. It's how well is he walking on the path of life? Is he moving back towards God? Nobody can steal that from him. The inner strength is a treasure that is fully acquired, never goes away, and it really shows in the smoothness and the calm in handling hard times. Verse 20, Maskil al davar yimtza tov uvateach b'Hashem ashrov. One who thinks intelligently about things will find good. One who entrusts his footsteps to God. Verse 25, Yesh derech yashar lifnei ish v'achariso darchei moves. There is a road which seems straight to a person, but which ends in roads of death. This is a very interesting verse. First of all, it's got the word derech twice. Once derech, road, and once darchei, roads. It's not just doubled, though. This whole verse is doubled. The identical verse appears just two chapters earlier in chapter 14, verse 12. Joseph told Pharaoh that if a divine message is repeated twice, that means it's a really big deal. Why is this lesson so important that we need to hear it twice? There is a road which seems straight to a person, but it ends in roads of death. At any point in life, we may be standing at a crossroads. We may need to decide which aspect of this road, which direction am I supposed to be going in? And King Solomon is warning us, don't choose based on the landscaping. Just because it looks beautiful, just because there's nice trees, flowers, beautiful houses, it's scenic, that's not how you choose the way. Choose your road by where it's heading, where the end of it is. Don't choose the road by how lovely it looks at this moment, because a smoother road may or may not turn out to be going where you're going. And worse, it may twist, it may turn, it may have pits, it may have potholes, it may turn into a chaotic tangle of dark alleyways, it could lead off a cliff and draw one to their death. Choose your road by the goal at the end, by the destination, not by the landscaping. Verse 29, Ish chamas yifate re'ehu veholicho bederech lo tov. A violent person misleads his friend, guiding him to take the wrong road. This verse talks about an ish chamas, a violent person. What makes him so violent? Is he waving a gun or a sword or a cudgel? The violent person leads his friends down a bad path by inviting them to join him in making fun of other people. In lacking respect for the needs of others and playing down principles of fair play and justice, by trying to justify his own actions and make himself into a good guy, he boosts his self-righteous feeling, he builds allies, but his friendships are deeply self-serving, and they don't lead anywhere good for his friends. Ish Hamas, a violent person, what could be more violent than dragging a friend down with you? Verse 31, Ateres Tiferes Seva, old age is a crown of glory, Bederech Tzedakah Timatzei, and it can be found on the road of Tzedakah, charity. King Solomon sums up a long view of life. He says, look at old people. Check and see how they've lived their lives and where have they ended up. If they have lived their lives empty of purpose and full of wastefulness, everything just indulgence and corruption, if they're human bottom feeders and they're trying to suck up as much personal pleasure as possible at the expense of others, then as they age and they lose their strength and energy and social capital, what exactly is left of them? Empty wrappers, wastefulness, indulgence, corruption that they can't even enjoy the taste of anymore. And so what you see is a decay of moral abyss and their shame and embarrassment to their families. If you look at old people who have lived a life of tzedakah, they have lived to be a blessing to others in their life. They've given to others. They've lived moral lives. They've lived to give and not to receive. Then their old age is a crown of splendor and glory. It's a time when they expand their wisdom and good deeds, share the wisdom of their rich personal experiences. They may not have a lot of wealth, but since they lived to give, their wealth truly remains with them, and they bring pride and honor to their families. Charity, tzedakah, morality, supporting others, kindness, these are the loveliest, most godlike activities of our lives. And when we share those blessings, we become part of the great flow of blessings from God. Old age doesn't have to be something we fear. It can be a crown of glory. And that's found on the road of charity. So no matter how rough or difficult our path in life is, no matter how many hopes and plans seem thwarted, we find strength and comfort in remembering that this is a path of love, a path of life, and a path to life. We can make right choices. It's difficult. It's sometimes scary. But if we remember that that's where we have control, and for everything else, we're in very good hands. God is controlling the world. It's not out of control. And God is rooting for our success. He's holding open the door to Eden to us. We can choose the Derech Eitz HaChaim, the path back to the Tree of Life. Thank you for learning together with me, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.